Would you please stand? This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be holy and pleasing in your sight and bring glory to your name. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I have to get my anchor so I don't bounce around here. My wife was picking on me last night because I was trying to read some of this to her in the living room. She said, will you stand still? That's exactly right. And I need more than most. I have to confess something to you first off. I looked at the textbook. I look at it from time to time, probably spend too much time looking at it, probably more than what's really useful, although there's some pretty amusing stuff there. Real garbage in there too, and try and push it aside. But there's this one thing on Facebook that really catches me and makes me laugh every time I see it. And there's be somebody makes some really outrageous or really totally silly comment. And as follows that is this picture of this guy, and he goes, because he knows stuff. And I just think that's hilarious because it's all in jest. It's sarcasm and kind of picking on himself. However, sometimes I have to confess, there are times where I will believe something or dismiss something just out of hand because I know stuff. And yeah, maybe I know stuff, or maybe what it is that I know about stuff. And head knowledge is a great thing, and it's a blessing. And we think about this, we send our kids to school, and we hope they get a good education to learn, you know, mathematics and history, and really get exposed to the collective knowledge of all the generations that have gone before us. And hopefully they learn to think so that they can kind of add to that later. And we value this. I value this. I hope you do. Especially with all the educators in here, I know I better value this and speak nicely. But what happens when we rely on this more than what we actually know? What happens when I do this? I become kind of self-satisfied, maybe judgmental, maybe just careless, maybe led into error. So how does my knowledge, or what I know about, how does that work with what I really believe? How does one affect the faith? So in our first reading, Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, is kind of scolding them, or at least that's my understanding, that they aren't living quite right. He says to them point blank, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. He further states that they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. Well, they may know about a lot of stuff, but there's still one thing they lack. I think that's what he's addressing. Last week, Father Don talked about our faith. Our faith when it makes sense, or when it doesn't make sense to our human minds. And he gave the examples from the gospel, if you remember. Jesus said, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Some of his disciples asked, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And many said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? And so many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Now the apostles, they didn't understand, but they still followed. Is it possible that the disciples who walked away were operating only on their darkened understanding? Alienated from the life of God due to the hardness of their hearts? Perhaps if they knew what they knew, what they knew was what they knew about Jesus. But I don't know that they really knew who he was. I don't think they really knew him. At least not yet. And what about Nicodemus? Now he certainly knew a lot of stuff. He was well educated. He was a righteous man, I believe. But there was still something he didn't understand. So he knew about Jesus. There was still something more he needed to know. And Jesus very calmly and carefully and nicely corrected and instructed him. Going back to Ephesians, we're also given some advice. Or at least I believe it's for us. We're to be imitators of God as beloved children. And we're called children in the Bible a lot. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. I think it's the difference between being childlike and childish. I tend to the childish part more than the childlike, but I'm working on it. If we're thinking about children, particularly the really young ones, and at the earlier service, Kurt and Darlene's grandkids were here, so that was a great prop. We don't have them. You'll just have to use your imagination here. The littlest ones, in our eyes, are pretty innocent, for the most part, don't we think? And they are completely dependent on others for instruction, for protection, and for their daily needs. You know, just food and clothing and nap time and all the rest of it. Think about it. When you've seen a child clutching on the neck of their mother or their father, try and break that clutch. Just, I dare you to try it. And little ones are inquisitive. And that would explain all the locks on the cupboard doors. And perhaps you've heard this question like 400 times more than you wanted to from a little one. Why? And while there's other things, they also mimic what they see. So what they see, that's what they learn. Now, Jesus makes a lot of references to children. In Matthew 11, 25 and 26, Jesus is quoted as saying, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." Matthew 18, Jesus is quoted as saying, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And he also said, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." There's something about being childlike, maybe not being childish. In 1 John, we hear several references, I think, to us as children. "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." We're made innocent. "And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." We're fully dependent. "Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous." Answering our questions, giving us direction. "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." We're dependent again for instruction, and we're mimicking what he has shown us. "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." There's our protection. "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." More instruction. So yeah, head knowledge is a good thing when kept in perspective. We don't let it become an idol. But we have to remember this is the beginning. It's part of the journey. It's not the destination. It's not the point of it. Jesus himself in Matthew 11, 29 gives us this invitation. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Lowly in heart. "And you will find rest for your souls." That's in the ESV. Some translations use the phrase "learn of me." And I found one that says, "Let me teach you." That's the one I want to go to. And as we heard in the gospel reading today, Jesus was quoting the prophets when he said, "And they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." I don't know how many, I'm sure you've all heard this before. The longest distance known to man is the distance from here to here. One thing to know about, much greater thing to know. Paul thought that his knowledge, as wonderful as his knowledge, he was a very educated man, had a terrific pedigree, had a long list of accomplishments. But he said that was all garbage compared to knowing Jesus. So I can know a lot about God, I can know a lot about Jesus, but I'd rather be the child, protected, instructed, following his example, justified. And like that child, I want to clutch to him. I want to wrap my arms around his neck and hold on to him. Spiritually now, and physically later. I'd like to close with a prayer that may sound familiar. Heavenly Father, what we know not, please teach us. What we have not, please give us. What we are not, please make us. For the sake of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his holy name that we ask these things. Amen. Now I invite other prayers and petitions at this time.